Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So over Christmas break, I got to read a book that my kids just fell in love with the title. The book was Reimagining Our Tomorrows, Making Sure Your Future Doesn't Suck. And the entire time we were on vacation, the kids were just running around going, I want to know how my future isn't going to suck. And I said, you know, we're going to get the author on. We're going to talk about this because, look, I think we're all worried about what tomorrow is going to bring. The stories of automation going to wipe away half of the jobs that we do within the next 20 years. The surveillance state rising, you know, all of the stuff, climate change, you name it. All of this stuff that's going on can hold you down, can make you think that the future is dismal. And here to share some thoughts on it, I've asked Joe Tankersley to come talk with us, a futurist and author of that book, Reimagining Our Tomorrows, Making Sure Your Future Doesn't Suck. Joe, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, great to be here, Rick, and I'm really glad to hear your son likes the title of the book.
Yeah, they were thrilled. They were the whole time. That's all they went back and forth. But, you know, it did begin a conversation of, you know, their future is one of, you know, as a parent, I don't have any idea how to tell them, you know, what field do you go into? What jobs do you pursue? Because, look, what I'm reading is half of them are going to be gone.
There's no question about that. Most of what you read in the mainstream media, the headlines are always about how terrible tomorrow is going to be. And the truth is, there's validity in that argument. We've got some big problems we have to solve. It's not going to be guaranteed that we have a positive future. But I think we can create one.
Yeah, it comes down to the choices we make. And sadly, the choices we've made over the last 40 years, I would argue, probably not the best ones moving forward. But, you know, we can change, I think.
Well, we can if we quit, you know, buying incandescent light bulbs and start doing things that make more sense. So that's part of it. We have to understand that change is important. And if you look at it the right way, get something better. And that's what we're trying to do, is make sure that we change and get something better and not just hold on to something that's outmoded.
Right. You know, as I was reading through the book, the story about, you know, the senior center, the seniors coming together and doing this co-op kind of living, you know, I kept getting this feeling that, you know, we're kind of reliving some of the 70s hippie kind of stuff, that, you know, we're going to have co-ops and we're going to have these kind of, you know, these kind of communal living situations going on. And, you know, it took me to, you know, some of the rhetoric of the past. I'm sure it's not what you want to hear, but that's kind of where my mind went.
Well, no, actually, that is one of the things about the digital future. It makes it possible for individuals and small groups of people to do things that we couldn't used to do. You know, it used to be that we had to rely upon big companies and big corporations to provide us with services. But we can now do this as a cooperative, and we're seeing businesses that are adopting the cooperative approach.
So, you know, I kept going back to this, you know, as I'm reading it, I'm going, you know, I'm going to bring maybe some of this message with me as the new year comes in. And I know that my right wing listener is going to go, that's socialism, Joe. It's socialism.
It's really not. I mean, that's part of the problem. We're having this argument right now about, is it capitalism? Is it socialism? And what we're missing is that a lot of what's happening in the world of technology and the changes that's creating are actually creating something new. And it's a little bit of a hybrid, and it has the possibility of being something completely different. One of the things we can do with the digital technology that I'm excited about is have really true direct democracy. You can have a city where everybody gets to have an opinion. Everybody gets to vote on everything if they want to. And with technology, that would actually be something you could do and do it reasonably. You know?
No, I mean, and it comes down to, and I'm with you on that. I would love to see that kind of a situation. I would love to see voting much easier. I'd love to see more participatory democracy. I just don't know that we really want it. But, you know, I guess it comes back to that narrative of, you know, what's the story we're telling ourselves, which is what you talked about in your book. Because I guess you could easily be, you know, just tied up in doom and gloom. But, you know, the other part of this is, you know, change is difficult. And a lot of what we tell ourselves is the narrative that we stick with.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. And the change we face right now is really challenging. I like to put it in terms of a historical point of view, is if you imagine what it was like when they introduced the printing press, right? Totally changed the power structure. made the church, which had been the dominant force, had to compete with civic government for the first time. Then when we introduced the Industrial Age, totally changed the cultural nature of the world, right? Now imagine if you took both of those ideas at the same time and introduced them together, because that's what we're doing. That's what the digital age is really all about.
Right.
Computers really are truly making that substantial of a change. And until we get our head around that, we are going to fight it, and we're going to be terrified by it. And that's what we have to work toward, I think.
Yeah, I'm not a Luddite, but I do fear technology taking over. And I've said, a number of times, we're looking at another type industrial revolution, only I think much more all-encompassing than it was even then. And the sad thing about it is, how many years did it take for us to finally kind of normalize around the industrial after the Industrial Revolution, and all the people that were harmed and all of the pain and suffering? Do we have to go through that again, or is there a way forward to ensure that we make sure that the bottom doesn't fall out?
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge, and we've certainly done a really lousy job of protecting those people who have had their jobs already taken away by automation. The last 30 years, we've already seen robots take away manufacturing jobs, and the people who lost those jobs were not given the training and the opportunities that they needed in order to succeed in the future. That's the very first thing we have to make sure we do.
Yeah,
and the better we understand that future, the better able we are to do that, to actually prepare for it.
No, and that sounds great. But, all of us, not all of us are our former Walt Disney Imagineers.
Well, I probably am a dream bigger. There's no question about that, because I spent a lot of time doing that and had a great time with those folks that taught me how to do that. But part of what I really want everybody to do is to realize that you can imagine a future where you have a lot more agency than what the current power structure wants you to believe. So in that sense, I am a revolutionary, I think. I'm suggesting that we could really do much more as individuals than we've ever done before in this future. And if we demand what we need, which is education, which is probably some sort of safety net, so that we can take some of these risks and try new things.
No, I think absolutely. Education being first and foremost. And then I think you have to throw in, some bit of health care, that safety net that you talked about, of ensuring that the bottom doesn't fall out. But, I just don't see that happening. My fear is, and you can help me with this then, because my fear is, as technology takes over and becomes more of our life, and does, automate more jobs and does take more away, you're going to see the gains of technology in the hands of fewer and fewer people. And I do fear that you're going to end up, just naturally in a in a rich and poor environment where you have the wildly wealthy and the dirt poor. I don't know how you change that narrative.
Well, that is certainly the most predominant vision of the future right now. There's no question about that. But think about it like this. If I have someone to come to my house, a skilled laborer, a plumber, he brings his tools with him. In 50 years, what if your tool is having access to artificial intelligence? What if it's having a personal set of robots? Why is Amazon and Google the only people who are going to be able to own that technology? There's no reason why, with economies of scale, that instead of buying a car when you're 17, you might actually buy your first robot and go into business. Those are the kinds of things that are really, truly possible if we think big, we dream.
Okay, you can own your first robot. What if you're one of the people like me who can barely turn on a computer?
Well, I understand that, right? I unfortunately have a 23-year-old daughter. She does all of my social media and computer work for me as well. This will be easier for younger generations. There's no question about that. And it's not going to happen overnight. They're the ones who are going to inherit most of these decisions as opposed to us. We'll sort of hang around as dinosaurs, I guess. But the flip side of it is, the advantage of technology is it's getting more user-friendly. That's the other piece of this, right? You could sit down and learn how to create computer code in probably half an hour now by watching some YouTube videos. It would be free. Even people who don't have that experience, whereas 10 years ago, that would have taken you 2.5-3 years of education.
No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, access to education, access to information now is so simple. I mean, there's almost no excuse for at least not knowing how, even if you can't actually do it.
Right. And part of it is we're trying to believe we can. That's what we have to change. We're trying to believe we can only do one little thing. And we all came out of the Industrial Age where specialization and a specific skill set was what got us paid and turned into our careers. The next generation coming up is going to realize that being creative, understanding how to do some basic computer programming, understanding what data means, those are the skills that are really important. And if you have those, you can do all sorts of things and keep up with the changes. And that's the real key, is to be able to keep up with the changes.
And that's the scary part, I think. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Joe Tankersley, a futurist and author of the book Reimagining Our Tomorrows, Making Sure Your Future Doesn't Suck. We'll get links out on how you can pick up a copy of the book. You know, but here's the thing, and this is one of the scary things as a parent. You know, it's a world that I don't think we have really any idea of what it looks like. I mean, you know, when my grandparents and my parents, you know, were raising their children, you kind of had an idea of, well, you follow this path, it's going to get you down the road and you're going to be okay. I think we live in kind of a Wild West environment where I don't think anybody really has a firm grasp of what the future is going to be. What advice do you give folks?
Well, you're right about that. I mean, I'd be the last person to tell you I know it's happened, what's going to happen. Because we are going through such a moment of change, it is going to be wild and woolly. And I'm not so naive as to believe that some people won't be heard in the transition. But I think what we have to do is it starts with changing the attitude that we have. If we believe the only future is two classes, the super rich and the super poor, and we believe that that's the only future we can create, then we will create that future. If we start to challenge that narrative, then I think we will start to have the conversations that will get people to say, hey, let's try X, Y, and Z and see what happens. And we'll muddle our way along like we do. We're human beings. But I do think we can come with an upward trend as opposed to turn into Blade Runner.
Yeah, or, you know, what was it, Logan's Run, where they killed everyone at 35?
that's a bad story for us.
Yeah, I'm well past that. I'd be gone right away, so that would be bad. But, you know, look, I think I'm looking forward to the future, you know, and with great anticipation, in that there are a couple of things that I'm looking forward to. Automated cars. When I get older, I won't have to be stuck at home. That's a great thing. It's an advancement, I think. But I also look at it and go, you know, I like driving. So we're kind of in this weird transitional moment, I think.
Yeah, and part of it is to understand that while some of these things feel like they're happening very fast, and the technology part is, we've got the chance to ease into changing completely what we do. Right. Now, in the next 10 years, we're not going to lose all of our cars and have to only have self-driving cars. That won't happen just because culture won't let us do that. But we'll begin to see where it benefits us. And I'm like you. If I didn't have to commute, that would be great. But there are times when you do want to get out of the road and drive, and that's okay. I don't see any reason why we would quit doing that.
At least I hope not.
Well, and that's the other thing. One of the things that I struggle with is, and you hear this from the big pundits, and you hear this from the corporate leaders, you know, automation is inevitable. Replacing jobs with robots is inevitable. No, it's not. That's a choice. You know, and it depends on how much you value human beings, whether or not you decide that you're going to give all the work to robots or whether you're going to make robots and humans be collaborators and partners and work together. We have the ability to make that choice.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I also see it the other way as well, is that, you know, each individual business acting in their own self-interest is going to see that it's going to benefit them. And that's just, it's not a group thing. It's just going to happen. You know, I hear people, because I'm an advocate of raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. I think you should have a living wage. And the first thing everyone tells me is, well, if you do that, they'll automate. I'm going, they're automating anyway. This is happening anyway. So why not benefit from it while you can? And that's kind of the thinking that I have in these worlds. You know, take advantage of what we can now, because eventually this stuff is coming. And don't be afraid of it. Figure out how we use the new technology to benefit all of us and figure out how to make our lives better. It seems pretty simple to me, but I fear that politically we're just not there. So I guess the last line of questioning I have for you, because this ultimately comes down to a political issue. Have you seen any politicians talking about moving us in a direction on new technologies? Is this something that you see in conversations politically? Because I'm not really seeing it.
It hasn't gotten to the point where it needs to be yet. There's no question about it. I'm encouraged by the big wave of young, new, progressive politicians that we're seeing right now. One of the great things about that generation is they don't ask some of the questions that you and I ask. They just go, it's technology, it's for me, I'm going to use it for my benefit. And so I don't think they will have the same conversation. I think they'll just go out and do some of this stuff. Is there somebody right now on the scene promoting all of this? No, unfortunately, there's not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really an important point because the younger generation, they've grown up with technology. You know, for me, privacy is a huge concern. I mean, I'm always worried about what someone's finding out about me on, you know, whatever website I go to, or, you know, I'm very cautious. My kids, they don't care. And there's not that you know, want of privacy because they've grown up with video cameras everywhere. They've grown up with, tracing apps on their phones. Privacy is not even a concern for them anymore.
Yeah, no, there will be things that we will lose in this future. The hope is that when they make those decisions, that the trade-off is worth it. It's not just for more convenience. And that's part of, once again, what we have to be teaching from a very early age, is to understand that technology is neutral. It's up to us to decide how we want to employ it. All technology, though, has unexpected side effects. And you need to be aware of what those are. And we need to be teaching that in elementary school. Yeah. We need to start there by creating a group of children who really think about what life is going to be like in 20 years. And they're the perfect people to do it because they have great imaginations.
Now, I think you're right. And to bring back liberal arts educations and stop this idea of you have to focus on singular thought, bring back actual thinkers instead of just little human robots. Just my thought.
Yeah, one of the biggest things is everybody talks about the loss of jobs, which is coming, no question about that. But they still think about that in terms of service jobs and manufacturing jobs. The next fleet of jobs that are going to get dispersed are going to be engineering. They're going to be white collar jobs.
Doctors.
They're going to be the jobs. Doctors, lawyers. All of those people are going to be threatened. That's what's going to remind everybody that it's about the ability to be innovative, the ability to be creative, the ability to be a great storyteller. Those are the things machines aren't going to do for a very long time. They're going to need a few of us around.
Sadly, it's only going to be a few, though. that's my fear. But the book, you got to get the book, Reimagining Our Tomorrows, Making Sure Your Future Doesn't Suck. So if you don't want your future to suck, buy the book. Joe, I appreciate the time. It was fun talking with you.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it, Rick, and you keep doing what you're doing. We need voices like you.
Good stuff. Appreciate it. Again, make sure you pick up the book, Reimagining Our Tomorrows. My kids loved the making sure your future doesn't suck part. We'll get links out. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born.